Mark chapter 5, verse 34, the prophet records these words. He said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. In this scripture reading tonight, we find a cure that is obtained without a word being spoken. She doesn't say a word, and the Lord doesn't say a word. But as Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house, he finds another merciful work to do on the way to the dwelling place of his daughter. This woman was probably a resident of Capernaum who had wandered through Galilee seeking a relief from her plague. It says she'd gone to many doctors and she'd spent all she had and she was no better. This desperate soul takes a seemingly unreasonable step of faith. She says, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. Now that's faith. Not touch him. Not him personally speak to her. Just touch the hem of his garment. She was afraid to speak to him. But she said, if I can touch him. I'll bring you a message tonight, the Lord help me, that I have titled, The Woman with an Issue of Blood. There are several things I want us to see here from this verse of Scripture. First of all, this woman had apparently never seen Jesus before, as far as we can tell. There's no indication that she had been. But as she had heard, and it tells us that a certain woman had this issue of blood, and she had suffered much. But when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind. This woman had suffered greatly, and she'd spent everything that she had. I understand that. Some of you have been in that experience with yourselves or with family members. That you spent everything you had, did everything you could, but it wasn't enough. She had apparently heard of Jesus and heard of some of the miracles he had done, and that inspired her. If I could just get to him, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. But there was a crowd there. Everywhere Jesus went, there was a huge crowd. So huge that the Lord himself could only move through the crowd with great difficulty. He had these 12 disciples with him, and he had other people who were regular followers, and they were breaking the path and clearing the way, and he still could hardly get through the crowd. They were anxious to see the next miracle. They heard that Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house, that his daughter had died or was about to die, and they wanted to see if he could raise her up. This woman had a terrible disease. It tells us, verse 25, she had an issue of blood for 12 years. Her disease classified her as perpetually unclean under the law. A woman with an issue of blood was unclean under the principles of the Levitical law. And this woman had a constant hemorrhaging. She was constantly unclean. She was constantly unfit to go to the temple. Mark refers to her condition in verse 29 as plague. Plague's a terrible thing. Has no cure. Many of the people who studied this think that perhaps that she had some uterine disease that was organic and it caused her to constantly bleed in this respect. And she had hope for a cure, but it's now been deferred for 12 years. 12 years. Most of you know my son's at my house and he's in bed fast, can't walk. And my biggest challenge with him is to keep him from getting in that condition. He constantly gets discouraged and downtrodden, and I constantly am trying to lift him up and say, look, it'll get better. You'll be okay. But the longer time goes by, it's harder and harder to say that. You don't know. This desperate woman determines that she's going to touch Jesus' garment. Verse 27 says she came in the press behind and touched his garment. She must have got down and crawled on her hands and knees through this crowd. She couldn't have walked. She couldn't push her way through the crowd. It was a strong crowd, and so the woman gets down to the ground and she crawls through and she touches the hem of his humble garment. Under the law, when she touched him, she was already unclean. But when she touched him, she made him unclean. All these people that are so in love with law, it doesn't do anything good for you. It just condemns you. But the Lord of glory was not bound by the law. His father was the author of the law, and he understood the law better than any man did. Her shame, when she became whole, made her shrink away in fear and guilt. She was afraid to stand up and say, I'm healed. She was afraid to stand up and say, I've been made whole. She was afraid to stand up and say, this man did it. She just kind of slipped back away. Can you imagine how she rejoiced? She'd had this bleeding for 12 years, and she's whole. Finally, whole. She failed to confess what he had done for her. Been abundant. Her life had been a pilgrimage of fear. Every day she dealt with this dreaded disease, ashamed to tell other people. Ashamed that any indication of it might show on her clothing. Ashamed to let folks know that she was in a condition that made her unclean under the law and unfit for habitation with religious people. All her resources had been wasted in pursuing a cure. She had spent every dime she had. Every dime. She gave all that she had to the physicians. She wasn't a bit better. Not a bit better. I don't know about you, but I can tell you I know exactly what it means to give everything you've got to a physician. They'll take every dime you got and lean on your house. This woman had nothing left. No money, no courage, no resources. She thought, if I can touch the hem of his garment. Her physical and emotional condition was painful and distressing. My wife, most of her life, from the time she was a teenager until she was an older woman, she dealt with this problem. And she struggled with it greatly. And there were times when it was so painful and she was in so much distress, she didn't know where she's at. She was good at lying and hiding it. She never said anything to anybody but me. But she was in distress a lot of the times. And I think about her every time I read this story. The fruitlessness of her physicians had made her case appear to be hopeless. She'd been to all these doctors. She'd spent all her money. She'd done everything they told her to do. She had endured so much pain, so much suffering. Yet she's no better. But in her distress and despair, there also came a clear determination. As she worked her way through this crowd, she determined, I'm going to touch him. I'm going to touch him. Now, that may not be the faith that you want, or the faith I want, or the faith that's advisable, but it was all she had. If I could just touch him. Her desperation of mind and body moved her to try to find a remedy. And he was the only one she'd found. the Lord of glory, as we've studied these miracles, and we will continue to study them for a few weeks, he healed all kinds of things. He healed every kind of problem people had, everyone they could imagine. He healed them. Sometimes he spoke. Sometimes he touched them. Sometimes he sent them on an errand. Sometimes he did this, that, the other. But in this case, he did nothing. Her guilt and her shame drove her to pursue this attempt. If I could just touch him. Just touch him. This woman's necessity ignored the law which had bound her all of her life, especially these last 12 years. Her faith was centered on a cure that would overcome her weakness. She wasn't so concerned about the law and about the priesthood and about the rituals. She said, if I can just touch him, I'll be whole. I'll be whole. She did not doubt that she had a right to pursue a cure. Her confidence in Jesus was well-founded. It was strong. Now, you have to motivate somebody. You get down and crawl through a crowd of people on your hands and knees just to touch the hem of somebody's garment. She believed and she acted before Jesus ever said a word. Before he ever said a word. Many physicians had failed her, but the great physician would not fail. Her faith, however, had a defect, and it was in her ignorance. She was blinded with fleshly superstition. She said, everybody else has heard this man, been blessed by this man. If I can just touch him, just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be whole. She believed there was some cure there. Just touch that garment. But the power to heal her disease was not in his robe. It was in him. She had a material conception of his power to heal her. But that did not stop him. See, Jesus overcomes our ignorance and our foolishness and our short-sightedness with his majestic power. The Lord of glory did not discredit or depose her superstition. He knew she was coming. He was God. He knew she was crawling through the crowd. He knew when she touched him. He knew her condition. Not only did he know her condition, he knew her history of misery. He knew about every one of those 12 years that she had suffered and endured all that the physicians did to her. He used what that woman manifested in faith for a higher purpose. I'll heal her. He cured her by an act of his divine will and gave her even greater faith. She touched his garment by faith and was immediately healed. And he gave her more faith. And when he said, "Who touched me?" she stood up and said, "It was me." Her faith was imperfect in its practice, but it was true and effective in its nature, and this thrill of newly given life that he gave her coursed through her body like some energy drink. We now see our Lord's wise and tender reaction to her. "Who touched my clothes? Who did it? Who touched me?" The disciples said, "Are you crazy? There's several hundred people around you. A whole bunch of people have touched you. This crowd just pushing you constantly." "Hey, no. That's not what I'm talking about. Somebody touched the hem of my garment." Divine omniscience is activated when she touches his garment. He feels the power go out of him. He perceived that virtue had left him and gone into this woman. You see, everything that God does for us and everything Christ does for us, we have gotten in the habit in our religious society that we take it for granted that it was just easy for him. But everything the Lord of glory does for you costs something. It cost him his soul. It cost him his life. It cost him his suffering. It cost him his virtue. Christ was cognizant of her physical and mental anguish. She's desperate. And the little faith that she had was their channel of communication. He said, "Somebody touch me." But she came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. I always think that's funny. You don't have to tell the Lord of glory any truth. He knows it all. But he likes to hear you tell it to make sure that you got it right. This virtue which emanated from him, as he describes here, he said, somebody touch me. The word virtue that's used there in verse 30, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, is used in a medical sense. That some chemical, some treatment has touched some sick body and made it well. His power of force brought about a definite result. He aimed for this woman to be healed, and she was healed. His displayed technical precision involved supernatural power. He did for her what doctors and lawyers could not do. She had spent all her money, and she was no better. She was worse. She had suffered everything. But she touches the hem of his garment, and she's made whole. Hand of Jesus reached and dispensed the energy of grace. Jesus looked at the crowd. He asked this simple question: who touched me? I'm sure there were people in that crowd who had bumped up against him in that crowd, and they thought, "I didn't aim to do that. I hope he's not mad." He wasn't talking about them. He was talking about this woman. He wanted to bring pure faith into a conscious relationship. He wanted her to know that she had touched the Lord of glory. And he wanted her to know that he had touched her. He would not let her remain silent or hidden from view. She was in that crowd. Whole at last. Free at last. Comforted at last. But silent. And the Lord was thrilled with her humble touch of faith. This woman. I have this picture my mom always have had, that she was a little bitty, drawn up woman, withered, and she just reached through the crowd and just touched the hem of his garment, and she was immediately whole. The Lord knew that. His majesty and power called upon her for a confession of healing. Who touched me? Who touched me? But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. The foolish disciples questioned the Lord's assertion. They said, "What do you mean somebody touched you?" You see this multitude that throngs you, and why do you say, "Who touched me?" A lot of people have touched you. But the Lord of glory looked around, though he looked in her face. He saw her gaze. He saw her look of refreshment. A lot of people seem to be near Christ outwardly, but they never seem to touch him. One of the things that I like about saints of God who die in faith is they seem to have such a knowledge of Christ. And it excites you and thrills you to see that. Encouraged by the healer's tenderness, she made her confession. She said, "I touched the hem of his garment, and I've been made whole." Diseases are often regarded as a stroke of the divine hand, but oftentimes they're just a loving touch. The Lord Jesus responds to this woman's confession. "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." He sent this troubled woman home with a comforting assurance. Can you imagine what it's like to have a disease for 12 years that hinders everything you do and everywhere you go and every basic function of life, and one day you walk into your house and you're healed? What a feeling. There are none who is so gracious as he is. He touched her. He empowered her. He healed her. When Jesus moves, something extraordinary takes place. He doesn't just casually touch us. Something special happens. There were no strings attached to this or any of Jesus' miracles. All these people have, all these faith healers and so on, they always tell people, "If you just do this, you know, come down here and put $50 in the offering plate, or come down here and fall on the floor. Come down here and let me touch you in the head, knock you out, and you'll be okay." You don't see the Lord of glory doing that. He doesn't put any strings out. This woman says, "If I could just touch him." And she touched him. And she's made whole. The simple faith of this woman was God's tool of healing. You know, faith is a channel through which healing flows from Jesus. Faith is not something we produce. It's not something we create. It comes from God. It's a gift from God. He gives it to us as a channel through which the grace of God can flow to us and from us. It's the blessing, the organ that produces blessings. And in our spiritual healing, faith in Christ is manifest. This woman never talked to Jesus, as far as we know. She'd never seen him before. She'd never touched him. But she heard about his miracles. She said, "If I could just touch him, I could just touch him." And she did. And she was healed. The Prince of Peace bids the hopeless to receive his cure. One of the reasons I believe in prayer and I practice prayer is because the God I believe in is able to heal all conditions. He can heal the common cold. He can heal stage 4 cancer. He can heal a heart attack. He can heal anything. He healed this woman. He healed blind Bartimaeus. He healed the man at the pool of Bethesda. Our Lord says, "Come and impart your trust to him." The cure of sin is as thorough as was the cure of that woman's plague. She touched the hem of his garment, and the blood stopped. Plague was ended. She was whole. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can grapple with our depravity and heal us by his death. Only he can do that. When God reveals our sinfulness and then the Lord's mercy, salvation is obtained. It's a gift that he gives us in his dear son. This woman's cure was freely provided. She spent all she had paying doctors. And was nothing bettered, but rather was worse. But now, the Lord of glory has provided for her a perfect healing at no cost. No cost. Sinners can never purchase the healing of their iniquity at any price. I've talked to a good number of people in my life who were convinced that God would be merciful to them and forgive them and show kindness to them because of such good people that they were. And I didn't want to upset their apple cart too much, but I told every one of them, you're crazy. God will only show mercy to the needy who have no hope. You got hope, take care of yourself, take care of yourself. But I pray that God will bring you to the place where you're at the end of a rope, hanging by the neck until dead, and he's the only one that's got a knife that can cut the rope. How forcibly and wholly this miracle of healing is applied by Christ. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. There used to be a fellow named Ira Sankey. He used to write hymns. He wrote a great number of hymns for D.L. Moody in his campaigns in Europe and England. And he wrote a hymn that portrayed her healing. And these are some of the words of it. She only touched the hem of his garment as to his side she stole. Amid the crowd that gathered round him, and straightway she was whole. Oh, touch the hem of his garment, and thou too shalt be free. His saving power this very hour shall give new life to thee. Wise words. Wise words. You do not need to have seen Jesus before. If he's pleased to bless you, then he will reveal himself by his appointed means. The law of God is a condemnation of every person, without exception. But grace is a vessel of healing. It's mercy that God has provided to cure and to heal his covenant people. And the Lord of glory will supply everything that is needed to his elect, everything that's needed. Living grace, dying grace. The fulfillment of a need, the elimination of a request. He does it all. God gives us what we need, and he puts us in the circumstances that are necessary to bless us. Often people say about the Lord, why did he do this to me? Why am I in this condition? Why am I suffering like this? Well, the answer is, so you can see him. So you can see him. This woman with an issue of blood for 12 years, who spent all she had on doctors and physicians and treatment and pharmaceuticals and was no better, came to the place in her desperate state in life where she knew, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I can be whole. And she did. And she was. The same is true for you and for me, whatever problems and trials and afflictions may come our way. I don't know what's going to happen with my son. I don't know some days what to do for him. I don't know what days how to help him. But every day when I pray to a God who can. And whose will is always best. And I trust him. There are other needs that come to me as a result of this church and people who are in it, and problems they have. I don't have the answer to them. But our God does. And we rejoice in that. Amen.